is dedicated to Lonishmas Moshe Lazer ben Avram Yitzchak. This upcoming Shabbos starts to be Parshas Tetzaveh. It is also commonly known as Parshas Zachar, Shabbos Zachar, where we fulfill the mitzvah Deraisa, according to most, of the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek, the mitzvah to remember the story behind Amalek. I'd like to spend some time this evening discussing a little bit of the history, so to say, about who Amalek was and his impact and his effects on Klal Yisrael, and then we'll try to understand why is this such an important mitzvah, the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek. For those of you that are more familiar with my Ma'amar Mekoymishis, this is very small. Yeah. Only 9 sources is usually more of a Sunday morning share. I just put some general sources down to see, while we try to understand who exactly or what is Amalek all about. Amalek is by far the biggest villain in Jewish history. He's by far treated in the harshest ways from all the other evil people in Klal Yisrael's history. We had Paroi, who was pretty bad. But when the Torah describes the feelings towards Amalek, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes a very special attitude towards Amalek. Whereas we'll see Rashi quotes in Parashat Yishlach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kisei is not shalim until Amalek is gone. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has this specific issue with Amalek, and the only way HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be, so to say, complete is by eradicating Amalek, not only his children, but anything that's connected to Amalek. Rashi says we don't want anyone to say that this animal came from Amalek. That's the mitzvah that we know today as Mechias Amalek, to destroy and eradicate Amalek. What's interesting is, if you look in the Pesukim where the Torah describes this mitzvah, both in Bishalach and in Kiseitze, the Torah never says kill Amalek. That would have been the simple thing. Go out and kill. The Torah is much stronger wording. Macha, emche, timche, much stronger description of what you should do. Eradicate, not just kill. As we mentioned earlier, it's not just a question of how many Amalekim can be killed. It's eradicating the remembrance, this idea of this person, this entity called Amalek. Why this strong attitude towards Amalek? What was Amalek so bad? Why was he so bad? What was his history? What was his upbringing? Today, whenever we see people, what we call troubled youth, we always ask ourselves, where did the trouble begin? That's what they're trying to figure out now. Right? Every time, there's always one of these people who do things that are unheard of. We always ask ourselves, what led to it? So what led Amalek to be what he became in history? So it's a very important Gemara in Sanhedrin, that Tzadi Tesmavei, the family probably has just recently seen it. The Gemara is quoting a pasuk. It says, Aluf Luton, Aluf Timna. The Gemara says, V'chol Aluf, whenever you find the word Aluf, Malchuso Beloit Tagahi. It means they're part of a kingship, but they're not exactly the king. They're in a king family. Says the Gemara, Boile Giure. This Timna wanted to join the Jewish nation. She came to all of the others. And she said, I want to join the Jewish nation. No one wanted to accept her. So she said, you know what? If I can't be part of the Jewish nation the normal way, I am going to get into the Jewish nation any way I can. I'm going to become a Pilegesh. Not even a wife, a Pilegesh by Eliphaz ben Esav. Again, what we call going through the back door. Eliphaz was still an Enochel from Yaakov, but he was Esav, but he was a grandson of Yaakov. He came from the right pedigree. So she decided, I want to be Pilegesh by him. Umrah, she said, this is talking about Timna. I'd rather be a Shivcha, low-ranking member of society, in what we call the Jewish nation, and I don't need to be a princess, a queen, in another nation. Sounds very noble. Says the, Sounds exactly like Hagar. Says the Gemara, Nafik minei Amalek. From such a woman comes an Amalek, ditzarinu liYisrael, that causes pain and anguish to the Jewish people. Frank the Gemara, my time? Why is it that way? Says the Gemara, delo yiboyile lerachka, because they shouldn't have pushed her away. Sounds like from this Gemara that all the troubles of Amalek is blaming on the Zaydis. Avam Yitzchak v'Yaakov. They did this. It's not us. No, it's not us. We didn't do anything wrong. We'll talk more, hopefully, tonight about that, this idea of blame someone else. But says the Gemara, it's the others. Avam Yitzchak v'Yaakov all should have taken her in with open arms. They didn't take her in. She built up this unbelievable resentment towards Klal Yisrael. She had a son named Amalek. That son was taught, brainwashed from a young age that the Jews are evil, they're terrible, and ultimately led Amalek to be what he is today. This is what the Gemara tells us. So the obvious kasha in this Gemara, that everyone is, I'm sure, thinking, and all the Mefarshim asks, is why didn't they take her in? Avraham Avinu was the open arms policy. He was the first Mekarev in Jewish history. Why wouldn't he take her in? She seems like a nice girl. She seems like she wanted to join Klal Yisrael. Why wouldn't the Avos accept her? And again, it's clear from the Gemara that the lack of the Avos allowing her into Am Yisrael is why we had an Amalek later on. So we could have really saved ourselves a lot of time and anguish if we would have just accepted her. Why would they not accept her? This is really the major question on the entire storyline of why was she not accepted. So if you look in the Ein Yaakov in his commentary on this Gemara, he asks this kasha. He says, "V'tema amalei kiblua. Why would you not take her? The ha'arbe nefoshes gayer Avram. That's what Avram Avinu did for a living. He was megayer people. Kidechsev es hanefesh asher asa b'charan. Why would he not take her?" So he writes like this. Comes with a whole cheshbon that the status of Timna was that of a mamzeres. That's what her status was. She was a mamzeres. So he writes, if you skip till the end, he says, "Im kein hoisa Timna mamzeres ulekach leirotzu legayra." Avram Avinu didn't want a mamzer in Klal Yisrael. So therefore he said, "I'm sorry, I can't take you. Although you may be completely lishma, you have all the right reasons, but we can't. We can't have mamzerim in Klal Yisrael." Now, the problem is, if it's such a good justification, as far as the Kosh Baruch Hu upset. However we're going to set up this answer, we're going to have to ask ourselves, okay, good. For whatever reason, Avram Avinu didn't do it, so why the Kosh Baruch Hu mad at us, and therefore causing an Amalek? Says the Ein Yaakov, "Mikomakim nenshu." That was a mistake. And what was the words of the Gemara? He pushed her away. He shouldn't have distanced her. He should have explained to her, "Listen, you can join the nation, but you really can't marry into our nation. You can't get married. You'll have to stay single. If you really want to be part of Am Yisrael, so you join Am Yisrael, I'm sorry. You can't marry anyone." Says the Ein Yaakov, the taina over here was that they didn't accept her because they had a good reason. Avraham Avinu was justified by not taking her, but it was more the attitude. The way he went about dealing with this person wasn't exactly correct. And therefore, says the Gemara, that's why we have an Amalek today. On the side of the newer Ein Yaakov, they have a commentary called the Chidushim al Ein Yaakov. I'm not sure who he is. He has a different pshat. He writes like this. Nira, ki Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov le'kibul le'timna, shibnei chashivas u'malkos timna. Timna came, although Hagar also came from, majestic background, the Avos saw that Timna was too, as we say, gairis herself. She was too into herself and into her background. Meaning, she wouldn't be able to be a proper Geiris. You have to basically attach yourself, remove your whatever you think you are, wherever you come from, and basically say, "I'm no longer that. I'm this new entity, and I'm part of Avram Avinu's family." That's what Avram Avinu did. He lowered himself to say, "Hashem Baruch Hu, I'm nothing. I'm mevatel myself completely to you." She couldn't come to that realization. She was too, so to say, into herself to be able to completely lower herself to say, "I'm mevatel and nisbatel myself completely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu." Lekach lo kibluah. And then he explains the psychological bit of information. V'nisrach k'yoser ki kol dover she'nidcha nidcha l'gamri. Whenever you get pushed away from something, that's what resentment is. "Oh, really? You can't let me join? Now am I not going to join? Now I'm going to hate you even more." So that created this bad blood, so to say, between Amalek and the Jewish people who got the resentment for not accepting her. Okay. In number four, the Sefer Tal Yaris, which is a Malachit Sefer, he quotes from the Yaris Dvash, Abyanis and Eipshitz, who quotes from the Manas Levi, Pshlema Alkabetz. This is the time year everyone talks about Pshlema Alkabetz, because he wrote a very famous Sefer called Manas Levi. Pshlema Alkabetz, till the times of Purim, everyone just knows him as the one who wrote Lechadaydi. When it comes to Purim, everyone knows he's the one who wrote the Manas Levi. What's the story behind the Manas Levi? Pshlema Alkabetz has a Shtikol Torah where he believes that you don't have to give food for Shalach Manas, based on Lomdis. Machlokes him in the Trumas Hadesh, and we've spoken about this quite a few times. I'm glad to convince that the Manas Levi even agrees you have to give food. Well, that's a Shmuz for a different time. But the Manas Levi, the reason why he called the Sefer that is because he decided to give the Sefer Shalach Manas to his father-in-law, who I think was supporting him at the time. He gave him the Sefer Manas Levi as the Manas, the gifts of Levi. He gave it to his Shver as a present for Shalach Manas. The Rebbe's Adi Yom Ezeh still do that. The Rebbe's are very into. They give each other Divrei Torah for Shalach Manas. Bekiyam Shalach Manas. But okay, so the Manas Levi has a very famous commentary called Manas Levi Shlema Alkabetz, and he wrote a commentary on the Megillah. A lot of big chedushim come from there. So he quotes that the Manas Levi said the following thing: "He Timna rotsa leinosa liYaakov. Timna wanted to marry Yaakov. El shirivka lo hiskima. Rivka didn't want to hear of this. Rivka did not allow Timna to marry her. Lefichach tzivsa Timna samolik b'na. Therefore, Timna told her son, 'Lirdeif es b'nei Yaakov kol yom.' That's where the hatred comes from. Now again, that doesn't sound like the Gemara. Listen, the Manaslevi was the 1500s, but that's not the way the Gemara says it. The Gemara sounds like it was because they rejected the Geiris, but here he's quoting Ibn Sinaish, he's quoting Ibn Shalom Alkabeth, who said it was more than that. It was that she wanted to marry into Yaakov's family, Rivka didn't want to hear of it, and that's why the sinner towards Bnei Yaakov. Okay. The Rinus Yitzchak of Yitzchak Siratskin also deals with this Kasha, and he comes up with two, what I find, very interesting answers. He says, first of all, the Avos felt that her Geiris was not sincere. Why not? He says, the Lekachle Geiru es Timna ki Choshoshu shemiskayeris b'nei hanisim shenasu l'avram u'bnei hamalchus shahi l'avram. All the wrong reasons. They thought that the Geiris that they wanted to do was just because at this time in history Avram Avinu was unbelievable. Everyone loved Avram Avinu. He was powerful. He was wealthy. All the miracles. It's not authentic Geiris. That's one reason, he says. His second reason he brings down is based on a Bereshis Rabba, because it says in the Medrash that Avram was Megar the Noshim and Sarah Megar is the women. Hareid the Avram lo hayi Megar Hanoshim. Avram Avinu, today you have people do Kiruv, so that men do the men and the women with the women, and the two never mix. Says the Rinus Yitzchak, says Yitzchak Saratskin, Vitimna Ratzah Shavram Avinu Yigar Oisei. Timna had a condition. I don't want Sarah. I want Avram Avinu to teach me. Says Avram Avinu, that doesn't work. That's not the way we do things here. We have a system. Men teach the men, the women teach the women. That's why she was rejected. L'kach loy kibl. Okay. The Dibris Moshe, Rav Moshe Feinstein in his Sefer on Masechet Shabbos, comes up with a different pshat. Very interesting pshat. Says Rav Moshe, V'dochku milkabla mishum shalei haminu shekavanos l'shem shemayim. He goes along the same lines that they didn't believe that Timna was authentic about joining Klal Yisrael. So why is she doing it? She didn't say, I want to join Klai Yisrael because I realized that there's a creator, there's a Bari Alma, there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu running the world. That wasn't her reason. What was her reason? She didn't want to join Klai Yisrael because of all the mitzvahs that we have. She didn't want to join because of Purim, and she didn't want to join because we have a fun time. She saw the Jewish people, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they behaved differently. They acted better. They had a different way of interacting with each other, midas tovus that they had. That's a good reason. That's not a bad reason to join Klal Yisrael. That's what we always try to say. We always try to make a Kiddush Hashem. That's what Kiddush Hashem means. People look at us and say, oh, you don't talk the same way Goyim talk. You don't walk the same way Goyim walk. So what's the problem? Says Rev Moshe, v'nenshu al zeh, and the other is got punished for that. The nafik mini amalek that's in Yisrael. Tashmi'u b'zeh, the chiddush of this, says Rev Moshe, t'gam habo b'shvil zeh liskayer. That's not such a bad reason to come join Klal Yisrael. Shadayin lehikiru emunah b'Hashem Yisbarach kolkach tzrichim legayro v'hu geiris gemura. Rav Moshe writes, before we had the Torah, what else do you want it to be? You know, Bishlam, and now that I want Torah mitzvahs. Says Rav Moshe, before this Torah mitzvahs, that alone is a sufficient reason to join Klal Yisrael. So therefore, says Rav Moshe, her motivation was, because I want to be like those guys. I want to have a happy family. I want to have structure in my life, like the Jewish people. I want to conduct my life differently. Avraham Avinu thought that's not enough of a reason. You don't join Klal Yisrael because we behave better. You join Klal Yisrael because you believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That way Avraham Avinu realized the Klal Yisrael, because he believed in one God who runs the world. Says Rav Moshe, that's not correct. That was the Einish. The Einish was because they should have thought of it differently. They should have realized that alone is the reason. We spoke about this once before. This reason that the Jewish people act differently. I said over many times, I said over this word from our Shiva, B'Zal Gebstein spoke out, that what Amalek didn't like about us was this Nakuda, was that we behave differently. He said over that one of the reasons why Amalek couldn't stand us wasn't all the rules we had. We had no rules when he attacked us. We just had a few mitzvahs. This idea that Klal Yisrael behaves differently, which is what motivated Timna to want to join Klal Yisrael, is goof for what Amalek couldn't stand. Amalek couldn't stand. It bothered him that we were his guilty conscience, that we were acting so different. We had a different way of acting. That bothered Amalek. Okay, so these are all the various pshatim into why Amalek doesn't like us. One last pshat, which is a whole totally different outlook, is based on the Chizkuni. The Chizkuni writes in Parashas Bishalach, why does Amalek hate us so much? What's his beef with us? So according to the Gemara, we know what the beef is. It's because his mother infused him from a young child to hate the Jewish people because they were mean to his mother. Okay, we can understand it. It's somewhat logical. Says the Chizkuni, a totally different way of looking at it. Says the Chizkuni, Vayilochim im Yisrael, b'mnei sinas mechiras habachayra. A whole different issue. The Chizkuni learns that the reason why Amalek had such a hatred towards the Jewish people was because it was over money. It was over the bechayra. He felt that it really belonged to his father. Right? It belonged to Esav. It belonged to Esav, not Yaakov. So his sinna wasn't because his mother was upset she couldn't join Klal Yisrael. This was also probably a brainwashing experience. He was brainwashed as a child that we got gypped by the Jews. Yaakov Avinu, the Jew, he gypped us. And that hatred continued on for generations upon generation. That's what led Amalek to have this unbelievable hatred towards Klal Yisrael. So these are the two very different pshatim, one in the Gemara, one from the Chizkuni, to what caused this strong hatred, almost illogical hatred of Amalek. Because as we'll see, what Amalek did made absolutely no sense. At a time in history where the entire world saw Yad Hashem, to go attack the Jewish people only can be justified if you have a very extreme illogical anger and hatred. The Mefarshim say that Amalek tried to get a pact together with the other nations. No one wanted to join him. They all thought he was crazy. You're going to attack the Jewish people now? After all we saw together, Yad Hashem, you're going to go wage war? I'm not interested. So why Amalek? Why would Amalek do? What was his motivation? So either according to the Gemara Sanhedrin, there's this anger that he got from his mother, Timna, passed down, or according to the Chizkuni, the anger was over the Bechayra, the fact that he felt that his father, his grandfather, it was all gypped, and it really belongs to him. Okay. Now if we were to stop right here, we'd say, okay, great. It's not our fault. So blame our avos. Why is there an Amalek today, and why is there an Amalek in previous generations? Not our fault. Don't blame us. Not our wrongdoing. It all really comes from the fact that Avraham Avinu should have taken in Timna. But we know that's not the case. In Parashas Bishalach, when the Torah describes the story of Amalek, or the first time we see Amalek, the pasuk tells us, "Vayovei Amalek vayilochem im Yisrael b'refidim." The first time we're exposed to this fellow named Amalek, is that he comes to wage war with us when we're in Refidim. Rashi right over there in the pasuk points out, why is the Torah connecting the previous story in Parashat Bishalach, which was when Klal Yisrael complained about not having water? What's the smichus? So Rashi says, because I told you that I'm going to be there for you, and I was there for you, and you're going to say, Yesh Hashem b'kirbeinu amayin, you're going to doubt for a second that I'm not around? Says Rashi, that's why Amalek comes. So it sounds like over here, it's not that it's Avraham Avinu's fault. It's our doing. Amalek is in the world because maybe Avraham Avinu, but we definitely caused Amalek to strike, so to say. It's our wrongdoings that lead an Amalek, so to say, to come out. So says Rashi, what led Amalek at this specific time in history to attack us? It's because we complained. We said, Yesh Hashem b'kirbeinu, we doubted HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gevura in the world. That led to an immediate attack from Amalek. The Rishayim speak out, the Chizkuni and others speak out. Why did Amalek wait till now to attack us? So they all answer, because Amalek was an Einikol from Yaakov. He was an Einikol from Avraham Avinu. He knew that there was this thing called the Bris Ben Absar. He also knew there was this thing called that there was a din that Avraham Avinu's children have to work in Mitzrayim. He was as much a child of Avraham Avinu as the Shvatim. So he said to himself, one second, if I knock out the entire Jewish nation, so who's going to have to work 400 years in Mitzrayim? It's going to be me. Because I'm also a grandchild from Avraham Avinu. He says, let's first let the Jews work. Let's get that out of the way. And now I'll come and attack him. Therefore, says the Chizkuni, the Daskein Baal HaTeis, we say the same pshat. That's why he waited till now to come and attack. This way he knows that the Cheshbon was finished. We're able to move on. Now he's ready to attack. So Rashi learns that the reason, so to say, the motivation for the attack was because Klal Yisrael doubted Yesh Hashem b'kirbeinu. The Arachayim HaKadosh writes, and it's really a Mefurshe Gemara in Sanhedrin, that that's not the pshat. The reason why Klal Yisrael ended up with an Amalek attack at this specific time, says the Arachayim, Shenis Atzlu B'Torah. Because Klal Yisrael was laxed or even lazy in their Limud HaTorah. And the Gemara says, what's Refidim? Refidim Yadayim in HaTorah. That Klal Yisrael weakened their hands in Limud HaTorah. So therefore, because Klal Yisrael was weak in Limud HaTorah, that's why they deserved the punishment of Amalek. I just saw from Rav Moshe Bick asks in his Sefer, he says, who told Rashi it's because we said Yesh Hashem b'kirbeinu? The Gemara says not like that. The Gemara says because we weren't learning Torah. So why does Rashi come up with a new pshat? So he says, Givaldik. He says, why would Klal Yisrael come to the realization that Hashem is not with us? What would lead the Am HaNivchar, the nation who saw great miracles, to say to themselves, Im Yesh Hashem b'kirbeinu? He says, because they weren't learning Torah. If they were to be learning the Torah would protect them and convince them, of course, Yesh Hashem b'kirbeinu. But because Klal Yisrael was weak in learning Torah at this time, that ultimately led Klal Yisrael to start to say, Im Yesh Hashem b'kirbeinu. Many asked the Kasha, were they riffing your day in Torah? They didn't have to learn Torah. What Torah? What were they learning? They had a few mitzvahs, not much to learn. What does it mean, riffing your day in HaTorah? So Rebbe Yubaruch Finkel has a sefer on Chumash, and he says, look in Rashi in Yecheskel. Rashi in Yecheskel writes, I believe it's Perek Chav, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Rashi says it wasn't Rifin Yodei Min HaTorah. It was Rifin Yadei Mil Kabbalas HaTorah. It wasn't that they didn't want to sit down and learn Torah. They had no Torah to learn. It was that they weren't running to Kabbalas HaTorah. This was we're in the middle of the process to get the Torah. They weren't running to get the Torah. Yeah, we'll get the Torah when we get there. Says Rashi in Yecheskel, that was the time in Klal Yisrael. They didn't have the sensitivity of, let's get the Torah right away. Well, they were riffing your day, and they were taking a good time when they get to the Torah. They'll get there, and that's why Amalek was able to attack them. Rabbi Asher Weiss writes in Parshas B'Shalach and in his Sichas, he says that the cure for Amalek is always Limud HaTorah. The remedy to fight off Amalek in any generation is always going to be Limud HaTorah. Because as we clearly see from the Arachayim HaKadosh, Amalek can only come in when there's a breach in Limud HaTorah. And he says, Lefizeh, we can answer up a very interesting Gemara. There's a Gemara in Megillah, the end of the first parak. The Gemara says, if you read the end of the Megillah, there's a very interesting pasuk. It says, Mordechai was Ratzui L'roi V'chav. Most of his brothers liked Mordechai. So the Gemara says, no, not everyone. Why, says the Gemara? Because many people were upset at Mordechai. Because all this time he was busy saving Klal Yisrael, he wasn't learning. He was on Sanhedrin, and he moved down, the Gemara says, he lost ranking in Sanhedrin. So everyone reads this Gemara and says, well, come on. It's Pekuach Nefesh, he needs to do it. What's the Taina? So Rabbi Asher Weiss says, no, the Taina Mordechai was, because who was Haman? Haman was from Amalek. We just said that the way you fight Amalek is by Limud HaTorah. So it was a bigger Taina in this specific story. If it would be another villain, okay, maybe it wouldn't have been such a Taina. But because the person over here was Haman, who was from Amalek, and we said that the way to combat Haman, the only way to fight Amalek is through Torah, therefore, you have to be more machbet, so to say, and that's why it was a Taina on Mordechai, whatever that means to be a Taina on Mordechai, for being Oisik with Tzarechei Rabbim instead of learning Torah. The Kli Yakar learns that what Klal Yisrael did wrong was some other things. He says that Amalek can only attack us. Unbelievable statement, he writes. Amalek calls Mancha Yisrael Shleimim im Hashem, Vayigam Shalim b'neihem. As long as we're at peace with Hashem and peace with each other, Lo Yochol Lahem Klal. Amalek can't touch us. He can't get to us. As long as we have harmony with us and our fellow Jew, and harmony with us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Amalek cannot get to us. So what happened in Masa Meriva, says the Kli Yakar, what happened in Masa Meriva was there was a complete breakdown. We lost our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu because we said, Hayesh Hashem Bikirbenu, and we also lost our relationship with each other. That we broke down the Achdus, the unity that we were supposed to be building on, which we know we didn't get till we got to Har Sinai. Therefore, because of these two traits that we didn't have, that allows Amalek to come. Says the Kli Yakar, that's why Haman was able to attack the Jewish people in the story of Purim. He quotes the famous line that everyone knows from Abishalim Alkabetz, that we read in the Megillah, Al Mefuzar Mufurat. When Haman went to make his claim to be able to annihilate the Jewish people, he told Achashverosh, don't worry, Al Mefuzar Mufurat. They're very spread out. No one will really notice if they're not around. So the Manas Levi says it's not pshat. What Haman was saying to Achashverosh is, Al Mefuzar Mufurat, the Jewish people don't have unity. And therefore writes to Manas Levi, that's why on Purim there's a very big emphasis on working on bringing camaraderie. That's why we give Shalcha Manas, to breed camaraderie. That's the famous line from the Manas Levi. So the Kli Yakar says it here also. The only time Amalek can get to us, says the Manas Levi, is if we are not be'achva with each other. If we can work on our unity, says the Manas Levi, Amalek cannot break through. And then he says another chiddush. He says another thing that we should keep in mind. What the Jewish people lacked at that time in Refidim, which allowed Amalek to attack, was tefillah and gemilas chasadim. Another rule, says the Kli Yakar. Whenever Klal Yisrael is laxed in those two nekudas in life, gemilas chasadim and tefillah, that's another time when Amalek is able to attack. Now, the obvious question is, what is the common denominator between those two things? So we'll hopefully see in a few minutes that there's a very strong common denominator between those two ideas. There's an unbelievable medrash. The medrash tells us that before Amalek did anything, he went to be Shoyel Eitzah. He wanted to talk to someone. So who did he go talk to? He went to talk to Bilam. Let me ask Bilam what to do. How can I annihilate the Jewish people? So Bilam told him, listen, buddy, it's not going to work. They're the children of Avraham Avinu. Amalek said, so am I. I come from the same family. So he said, you're right. Go out to battle with them. Go to war. You'll be successful. I don't really understand Shat and Medrash because I would assume that was his initial idea was to go to war. Apparently, going to war is different than just shooting them in the street. Okay, I don't know. Chat in the Medrash. There's another Medrash. The Medrash says, how did he get the name Amalek? What's the name Amalek? Listen to this. The Medrash says it comes from the word lolok, to lick. It sounds like the Medrash says that Amalek would soak up the Jewish blood. That's it. He would lick it like a dog, the Jewish blood. Such a strong hatred that he had for Amalek. Reb Aaron Kudler in his Sichas, in Mishnas Reb Aaron in Parshas Beshalach, he writes that when we talk about eradicating Amalek, so we think of it as just like a bad guy that needs to be removed from the face of the earth. Says Reb Aaron, it's so much more than that. What Amalek represents is a total breach in Kavod Shem Shemayim. Amalek, as we know, Rashi says, Rashi states it. When Amalek came to town, all of a sudden everyone said, "Eh, God's not so powerful." Till Amalek came, the Medrash says, if not for Amalek, no one would have attacked us. Everyone was afraid. Amalek cooled down the hot bath. Says Reb Aaron, Amalek represents a total breach in Kavod Shem Shemayim. So the reason why we have to eradicate Amalek is not because he's dangerous for us necessarily, but he represents a total disregard for Kavod Shem Shemayim. Eradicating Amalek, writes Reb Aaron, is the way we bring back Kavod Shemayim in the world. That's how he understands the idea of Amalek. If we read through the Psukim, we'll find something very, very interesting. We go to war with Amalek, and what does the Pasuk tell us? We win. We're successful. But, says the Pasuk, what do? Vayachal oish Yeshua es Amalek. We don't annihilate. We weaken. We don't destroy. We leave some people around to survive from Amalek. Why? You win. Destroy. Right? Every soldier is taught to kill. Why would you just be yachalish? So Rashi says that that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. Okay, why is this what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted? So one of the pshatim they say is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Klai Yisrael to live with this fear of Amalek. Klai Yisrael can't get complacent that they're, no one can touch them. They're safe. They can do whatever they want, called over Ra, and no one can ever get them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to leave Amalek in the world. You always be afraid. They might come one day. If I would have annihilated Amalek, so we'd never have anything to be afraid of. No motivation to improve. However, now that Amalek exists in the world, and we have an Amalek, now Klai Yisrael has to always watch over their back and say, one second, if I step out of line, Amalek's going to come attack me. And that's why Amalek was left. Again, it was weakened, the Pasuk says it was weakened, but it was ultimately allowed to continue to live, and therefore the nation continued. So if we would just read Parshas Beshalach, the feeling we got about Amalek, or why he comes, is either based on the Gemara we mentioned earlier, because of Aram Avinu, or because we do things wrong. We're not nice to each other, we don't learn, all these types of things. The problem is Rashi Parshas Kisetzi gives you a totally different version of the story. Rashi Parshas Kisetzi, which we're going to read as Parshas Zachar, Rashi says why? Because right before Parshas Zachar, what we call Parshas Zachar, the story of Amalek, the Pasuk tells us about measurements. When doing business, you have to be honest with your business. Says Rashi, if you're not honest in business, Amalek comes and attacks you. Where did he get that from? Faket. Rashi doesn't say that over here. Rashi says Amalek comes because, but Rashi wrote in Bishalach, because Rifidim. Why? What's the connection? Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin says that it's not a stira. It's the same thing. What does it mean in Parshas Beshalach that Klai Yisrael said a Yesh Hashem b'kabeinu? They had a breach in Amunah. Says Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin, when you cheat in business, you have a breach in Amunah as well. Because why do you cheat in business? Because you feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't know how to provide for you. So the only way you're going to survive is if you take care of yourself. So you do things that are illegal, that are questionable, because you decided that I run the show. I'm the one who provides for Panasa, so I need to do what I need to do. Says Rabbi Yeshua Leib, it's really a breach in Amunah. So it's really the same idea. It's not two different chesaronis in Klai Yisrael why Amalek comes. It's the exact same chesaron. It's because Klai Yisrael lacks Amunah. If we believed Ki Yesh Hashem b'kirbeinu, we wouldn't be cheating on our financial life because we'd say to ourselves, why am I doing this? If Hashem wants me to have the money, I'll have the money. So the aveira of stealing from another Jew is not based solely on the fact that you want to have money. It's rooted in the fact that you don't really believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If that's the pshat, so now the kliyaka that we mentioned earlier is much more understandable. Gemilas Chasadim. What's wrong with Gemilas Chasadim? Why don't people want to do Gemilas Chasadim? Because people say, I made it on my own. I did it, you can handle it also. I don't need to help you. Where does that all come from? It all comes from a lack of emunah. Tefillah. Why do people not want to daven? Because they want to believe they do it on their own. So all these chesronos that Klai Yisrael had are all under the same banner. The one banner of Ki Yesh Hashem b'kirbeinu. It all comes back to the idea of asking yourself, do you really believe that we're running the show? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show. That was the breach of Klai Yisrael at that time, which ultimately led for Amalek to be able to attack Klai Yisrael. They talk about, Stamose, just on a logistics question, how was Amalek able to penetrate the Ananiah covered? How was he able to get through? So they say that there were many people who stepped out of the Ananiah covenant. Why would they leave the Ananiah covenant? Because Amalek was no fool. He knew what to do. He said he got people to come out of the Ananiah covenant to do business. I'm going to do business with you. I'll sell, buy. I'm not sure what you sell and buy in the Midbar, but okay, whatever it was. If there's something to buy and sell, Jews will figure it out. So therefore, that's how he got them out of the Ananiah covenant. Once they were out of the Ananiah covenant, it was much easier. So all those people that got slept up by Amalek, it came from the same idea. They were looking right there for more ways to make money, as if the mun wasn't good enough. If the be'er wasn't good enough, they needed more ways of making money. Again, the same rooted problem with Kiyesh Hashem B'Kabeinu is what ultimately led Klal Yisrael to be attacked by Amalek. If Moshe Feinstein, in his Sefer on Chumash, asks the obvious question, why do we read Parsha Zachar today if we don't go out and kill Amalek? Right? We don't kill Amalek today. So why should we read Parsha Zachar? What's the lesson, says Rav Moshe from Parsha Zachar? He says the lesson of Parsha Zachar is the realization how there's evil in the world. People can do things that are completely evil and illogical. That's what Amalek represents. The worst of the worst of the worst, the most illogical ways of living life is Amalek. Says Rav Moshe, we have to realize that we're a shtickle Amalek also. We can also become evil or sometimes illogical in what we do. It's very easy to get off the straight and narrow path and become bad. Says Rav Moshe, our job is to remember Amalek and live every day of our life, that we have to realize and bring and think about that. How do we stay off of the path of Amalek? How do we stay on the Yosha path? It's not a given. People can be evil. Look around the world today. There's tons and tons of evil. How do people become evil? Just sometimes just slightly veering off the path. If you don't consciously work on staying, a person can become evil. If we just go back to the source sheet, two last sources I want to discuss. There's a beautiful Aruch Chaim HaKadosh in Parshas Ki Tzeitzei. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, there's another interesting comment in the Megillah. It says in the Megillah, "Uvavizol lo yishalchu es yadam," that after the Jewish people went to war, in the times of Purim, Mordechai made a declaration, no one's allowed to touch any of the money. Vesepis. Why? So the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, because again, Amalek can only attack us when we're not careful about money. When we get too involved and over, and so to say, caught up in money, that's when Amalek comes in. Therefore, we have to be mechaper for that Aveira. So therefore, Mordechai said, no money. No one touch the money. Stay away from the money. It's no good. That's how we got into trouble with the Chet Egel in the first place. Stay away from the money. So writes the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. There's a discussion about whether or not there's still Amalek today. Right, so I quote over here from Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld was of the opinion that possibly today the Germans were under the banner, so to say, of Amalek. Rav Salvechi quoted many times from his father, that his father held for the Vaposha that the Nazis, Germans, had a din of Amalek. They had such a status. I did not Zarish al Amalek. Like Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld has the same problem. He says the Germans came from Yefes. That biologically they're not from Amalek. So the idea is you don't have to necessarily be biologically from Amalek to be Amalek. Someone who sets out with the idea of my entire purpose and Tachlas Achaim is to destroy the Jewish people, that can be under the banner of Amalek. The story goes with Rav Gusman, that when Rav Gusman left the Vilna ghetto, Rav Gusman was in the Vilna ghetto with his wife and two kids, and things were very bad in the Vilna ghetto, and his daughter came to him and said, we got to leave the ghetto. Shain said, we have to leave. Now, they didn't know that the Vilna ghetto was about to be emptied. He did not know this. But his daughter said, we have to leave the ghetto, we have to leave. So he said, it doesn't make any sense to leave the ghetto. Where are you going to go? But he told his daughter, if you're convincing me, I think we should go. And he said he has a Kabbalah from Reb Chaim Moizer. That Reb Chaim Moizer said, when you make decisions like that, it's a shtickle nevuah. And when they asked Reb Chaim Moizer, where does it say this? Reb Chaim Moizer doesn't have to say it anywhere. It is. Kabbalah. When a person makes these types of quick decisions that need to be made, it's a shtickle nevuah that Kosh Baruch Hu says you should do it. So Reb Chaim Moizer, so Reb Gusman and his wife and two daughters escaped the ghetto, and miraculously they were able to live outside the ghetto. But that doesn't get you too far. So what Reb Gusman's plan was to join those that were fighting against the Nazis. But in order to join, he had to get a gun. Now where is Reb Gusman going to get a gun from? So what Reb Gusman did was he saw a soldier, he grabbed his gun, threw it away, and he strangled him with his two hands, killed the soldier, took his gun, and ultimately was able to join and survive the war that way. Reb Gusman said many years later in Eretz Yisrael, he was watching an Israeli soldier unloading his gun and cleaning it. He said, I can do it much faster than that guy. Reb Gusman knew how to use a gun. So Reb Gusman said later on, he said, I was zeich with my two hands to fulfill the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. So clearly Reb Gusman was of the opinion, as was Reb Salvechik, that they do exist today as well. And he was proud of the fact that he was able to destroy Amalek with his own two hands, and he strangled the Nazi, and he ultimately survived. Nebuch, he lost his son in the war. But just one last very interesting story about Reb Gusman. When he finally came back to Lithuania at the end of the war, so he came upon a shul. And he was holding the shul, and the shul was untouched by the Nazis, which was a huge chiddush. And there was tons of svarim. And he told his family, let's go get food. His wife said, Achutzpah, you haven't learned in 2.5 years. Sit down and learn something. He said, but yes, we need food. Don't worry about the food. You sit down and learn. So Reb Gusman said he sat down for the next 2.5 hours and learned straight. And he worried about the food later. He said about his wife, he said, this is why I was able to have Talmidim. Because a wife like that, such Mesiris Nefesh, to be able to finally have Svarim to sit and learn. She told her husband, better you sit and learn now, or worry about the food later. Okay.